starting. It's actually about finishing. So let's look again at that verse, and thank you, Glenda, for actually reading it out. And it's one on Philippians 1-6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. So today we're going to really break it down. And so we'll look at it again. And so in another translation, it says it like this. God began to do a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And in another translation, it puts it like this. God began to do a good work in you, and I'm sure that he will keep on doing it until he finishes it. He will keep on until the day Jesus Christ comes back again. See, God not only throws the first pitch actually out in your life, he throws out the last pitch. He is the closer. And regardless of what you might think and how you might feel right now, the truth is your greatest days are ahead of you. You are not a finished product. You haven't reached your full potential. The work that God began in you, he will finish it. What God started in you, he will complete. And the first thought in this verse, I think, is the most important one. See, from Philippians, it's a letter which Paul wrote to the people in Philippi, or church in Philippi, and he was writing it in jail, and he actually says, I'm convinced that you who started a good work, and you will be faithful to complete it, because you didn't start anything, God did. And we can rest knowing that. You see, Paul knew that it was God who did the work in him. He had been a murderer before God began the work in him. And when you work back through the Bible and actually look at Paul's ministry at the time, back in Acts in chapter 16, we're told that Paul, he didn't actually intend to go to Philippi. And actually on his second missionary trip, he actually wanted to go back to Asia Minor and preach there. And so that seemed to him to be the right thing to actually do. But it says in that chapter, in chapter 16 in Acts, that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow him to. Paul had a vision during the night, and God gave him that vision. And in that vision, a man of Macedonia appeared to him and said to him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And because of that vision, Paul crossed the sea and went to Europe. And when Paul arrived in Philippi, he went to the capital of Macedonia, which is Philippi. And at the time, he spoke to a woman who was gathered by the side of the river for prayer. And as Paul preached, it says, the Lord opened the heart of Lydia to respond to Paul's message. It doesn't say that Lydia was so impressed that with Christianity that she decided to try it, nor does it say that Paul opened her heart, or she opened her heart. It says the Lord who brought Paul to preach opened her heart and the hearts of her whole family, and they all became believers. So she is the first convert. Philippi was a place that the Gospels were first preached in the entire continent of Europe, and it began with this man named Paul and a woman named Lydia. And this was not orchestrated by a human being. Who did this? God did this. And this is the God who is at work in you. So you see, you didn't start yourself. You didn't make your body. You didn't create your gifts. You didn't draw yourself to God. God drew you to himself. So back to the verse again, which we actually read before. Who is the he who began the work in you? He is the one who created the world with a word. He is God. God has spared nothing in the search for you. He sent his Spirit, his Son, and his angels after you. You didn't belong to him today because of chance or accident or some stroke of fate. You are his because he did not give up the search for you. In Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for all things, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That is the he who is doing the work in you. Paul didn't start the work in you. God did. I mean, how often do we begin by acting and thinking or speaking about things as if I'm the only one who can actually do it? But this is all about him and what he has begun. And the next part of that verse is the word began. He who began. And I love that it says he who began, because what it means is that the process has actually started in us. And we have to be patient. And that means you have to go through some hard times. Has anyone been through a hard time or two? I'm sure we actually have. Some really painful times. That means we will need to go through these times. We will just have to wait. And that's hard, as most of us are terrible at waiting. you know, we get really frustrated when we have to wait for the next episode of, you know, Game of Thrones on TV, or, you know, wait for the next iPhone model to actually get released and actually go out to the shops and actually, you know, go out and get it. Or, you know, simply when the next holiday may come around. And every day is filled with these moments, little moments that test our patience and our lives, schooling us in self-control. And then on another level, we wait. We wait for our first job. You know, we might be finished university, and we're actually looking for that first job, for a goal to be realised, for a dream to be fulfilled, for our body to get stronger or a relationship to be reconciled. There are a lot of waiting moments in our lives. And the thing about God, this God that has begun this work, he's not in a hurry. He just isn't. He started the work, the countdown has begun, and he will continue it. The moment you become a child of God, you become a work in progress. And there's no question actually how it's going to turn out with God. He already knows. He's begun the work in you, and there is a purpose. See, he is working in us to ultimately have a character, to have his character, which is why we can't be in a hurry. I mean, we know most worthwhile things in life do take time. A marriage, you know, building a career, raising children, you know, we're making progress. So turn around to those actually beside you and actually say to them, we're making progress. You're making progress. But I do know that it's not easy to be in between your beginning and your end. One of the hardest places to be is actually in the in-between. It's this place in between where your faith is severely tried. And while you may be in your in-between place, people might look at you and they might actually see a mess. You know, you might have gone through some really tough times, but not God. God doesn't see this place today. He sees this place as you're destined to be. So God called a prophet, Jeremiah a prophet, when he was a child, and he could hardly talk. In fact, when God called Jeremiah and told him that he was going to be a prophet, Jeremiah just said, nah, you know, I don't think you're actually right, God. That is what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And so what does Jeremiah say? Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am far too young. Okay, so how come God said one thing and Jeremiah said another? See, God was looking not at Jeremiah's present. He was looking at Jeremiah's future. God saw where Jeremiah was going, while Jeremiah could only see where he actually was today. God saw what Jeremiah was going to become, while Jeremiah could only see what he was at the time. God doesn't see you now. He sees you who you are about to become. He doesn't see you at the place where you're actually at now. He sees you at the place he has purposed you to be. Well, like a seed. And a seed doesn't look like the fruit is going to that it's going to produce. And the thing with a seed is that there's a principle that God has actually set in motion. And actually, it's interesting that we've got that in the reading and in the bulletin, actually, in there, if you look at the little passage on the side. And that principle, this principle of having a seed, having a lot of time, and then actually having a harvest. And most of us would like to go, you know, seed, time, and harvest. But it's not like that. The time part of that, it's actually quite hard. God has begun a work in you, and you're about to become what God said you were to become. So we read earlier in Isaiah 55, and I'm just wondering, Michael, if you can just flip back to Isaiah 55, 8 to 11, back up on the screen. And verse 10 and 11, next. And so we read there that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So really look at those words, accomplish and achieve the purpose. So let us know that God's work in us will be completed. Now, I do think it's easier when we cooperate with the work that God has asked us to do. And, you know, we often, when we come into church every Sunday morning, we're singing songs of worship, and you will have words such as, you know, Lord, have your way in me. And actually, even today, we sang Glorified, and it was, into your heart, I commit my life. And it's so much easier to say, I surrender, than to actually surrender or to commit our lives. And so Philippians 2, verse 12 says it like this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed not only my presence, but now not much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You know, to complete the work that God had begun in him, Moses had to obey God and go before Pharaoh. And it was because Joseph's obedience that he wound up being a high-ranking individual in Pharaoh's court in Egypt. And Joshua had to be obedient to go into the land of promise and conquer the people that were actually there and fulfill God's promise. Paul had to be obedient and go where the Spirit had led him. In each case, God's plan is carried out by the obedience of these men. Let God begin the work in you. Surrender yourself to him and let him finish. So we can go back to the Philippians verse now, Michael. Again. So it says, he who began, and then the next part of the verse, he who began a good work in you. God is working in me, and he's working in you, because he actually sees it as valuable. You know, when you look at a bar of steel, you know, it's a bar of steel, which is about a kilo, it's actually worth about $7. When it's made into, say, a steel pipe, that steel pipe is actually worth about $15. And that same $7 bar of steel, when it's manufactured into needles, that value lifts to about $350. And if it's made into those delicate little springs which go into Swiss watches, which they're probably a little bit out of date now, given all the smartwatches which are actually around. But those Swiss watches, when they're actually put out to the market, those little tiny springs are actually worth about $250,000, equivalent to that weight of steel. So that same bar of steel is made more valuable by being passed through one blast furnace into another, and again, by continuing to be worked on again and again and crafted until it actually is ready to fulfill all those delicate little tasks which it's been set out for. And can I suggest that God is working in you and he is preparing you for what he has in mind for you. He is doing it because he sees you as worth it. You know, you are valuable. In Psalms 139, verse 16, it says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He who began this good work in you, he is doing it because you are valuable. And he calls it a good work. He began this good work. That work specifically is God living in you, God challenging you, molding you, using you for his plans. You are a work in progress. You are a project that God is working on. And just because we can't see him doing it doesn't mean that he's actually doing it inside of each of us. Remember this, some of the most amazing work that God does is actually within us. You know, change takes place from the inside actually out. And when I said yes to Jesus, I gave up my rights, I died to myself, and God said, and I said to God, you have control over my everything. Well, if that's true, then I actually have to be allowing him to chisel away at me, sometimes convict me, discipline me, but always mold me into how he actually sees fit. Now, the work that God has started actually within me, personally, I think it's great. And I think it's great when actually God does work in Michelle, because it makes her far easier to actually live with. But my focus has to be on what God has started in me. And likewise, your focus has to be what God has started in you. God will finish what he started in me. He will finish what he started in you. But you have to remember, he is the one working in you. It's his project, not yours. He's begun this, and only God can produce in each of us love and joy and peace and patience. and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. In Ephesians 2:10, it reads, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for each of us." And the thing is, while God is actually working in us, we do have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan. He continually tries to interrupt the plan that God has actually started in us. Satan tries to thwart the work that God is doing, not because of who we are now, but because of where we are going and who we will become. And so I think Satan's greatest fear is actually your tomorrow. I mean, just think about it. He doesn't want you to become who God has said you would become. He doesn't want you to go where God said you would go. He doesn't want you to have what God said you should have. The attack on your life is actually on your future. Joseph's brothers didn't try and kill him because of who he was at the time. He was just a teenage boy who had a dream, and he had a big mouth, and Joseph's brothers weren't afraid of who he actually was. They were afraid of what he was to become. They were afraid that the dreams that he actually had might just really come to pass. But before Jesus was even 2 years old, Satan moved on the heart of King Herod to have all the male children 2 years and under killed. And so why would Satan try to actually do that and kill Jesus as a baby? Clearly, you know, as a baby, he was just like all of the other babies actually around there at the time. So Satan moved on the heart of King Herod and made him afraid. And Satan was afraid of who he would become as a man. Satan wasn't afraid of what he was doing at the time. He was afraid of who he was to be in his future. See, Satan knew that if he killed Jesus as a baby, then that baby would never become a man, and there would never be a crucifixion, and then there would never be a resurrection. And you know, that in the lives that I've mentioned in the Bible, Joseph and Jesus, plus a lot more in the Bible, and I know, you know, we've had weeks and weeks of passages from people preaching up here at the pulpit talking about those lives. The devil's plan did not prevail. The same is true in your life. The enemy's plan will not prevail. God's plan for your life will prevail. God's plan in your life will stand. He is way too much invested in you to give up on you now. He knows better than anyone in your life that the best is yet to come, and that the greatest things in your life are still in the making. He will finish the work. See, God is not like man. We start things and we don't finish them. And, you know, I know that full well. He will finish the work. Baseball pitchers start games and they don't finish them. But the very character of God guarantees the completion of work. When God is involved, whatever he begins, the end is already in sight. Your life, your future, he is faithful. So to all you here in ACPC today, be confident in this, that he who began the good work in you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that day is coming. So whatever you do, don't quit yet. And later on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heaven in Christ Jesus." God doesn't quit on people. We might get frustrated, we might get angry. Not God. Keep hope, because it is not the end of your story. In Galatians 6, verse 9, it tells us, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You know, God was working in Joseph for years, and then eventually his dream came to pass. And as he watched his brothers bow down before him, and God worked for years in Moses before he led the Israelites out of Egypt. God worked in Paul, ultimately he expanded the gospel like none other. And in each of these cases, God's plan was completed. And we might be looking at the finish line of the job we got, or the marriage, and it's okay to say yes, and, you know, we've hit those particular markers. But can I just say that there is more to be done? God is not finished in us. And in each of these cases, we see it completed, not for Joseph's sake, Moses, or for Paul's glory, but only for the glory of God. Our lives are so much bigger and a part of something bigger. and you're an important piece of that work that he's begun in you, and he will complete it because you and I are part of a bigger family. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you actually read that chapter, it begins talking about some of the legends of faith who have gone on before us, many of whom I've actually mentioned today. But the chapter ends with this. It says at the very end of that chapter in Hebrews, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what has been promised. Since God has planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." So therefore, since we are surrounded by so many that God, so many who let God finish the work in them, let God finish the work in us. Amazing people have gone on before us. His completed work was done in them, and now it's our turn. We have a part to play. Our lives should be leaving a legacy. We are part of a bigger race. So who loses if you quit? Your kids, future kids, your grandchildren. See, we are being prepared for something bigger. We are being prepared to be his bride, the church without blemish. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he threw out the first pitch, and he will throw out the last. He is the starter and the closer. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last. He is the author and the finisher. And he is finishing this. So don't quit. I mean, maybe spiritually you're hitting a wall. Keep reading your Bible and keep praying. Or maybe you're a parent and you just don't know what to do. You know, when you've got children who are making horrible decisions, keep loving, keep praying, and do the best you can. Or maybe you're dealing with some pain from the past or dealing with an addiction. And maybe you work through issues and you've had help and it's not working. He will finish the good work he has done in you. Or maybe you're being down a pathway of helping people and you're seeing just how big the need actually is. And you're starting to wonder, actually, can it ever be achieved? Is the work which we're doing making any difference at all? Don't give up on the process. Don't give up on God. See, you're worth it. He sees you as valuable enough to begin the work in you, and he will finish it. So, in closing, I know that there's probably some of you in here because we're all in the same situation, and it's maybe that you're in the middle of a tough, really tough situation, and what you really want to do is quit. And maybe you're frustrated with the results that you're getting. Just don't, and you can't see how possible it actually is to be any better. Well, can I just say to you, keep going. And some of you may be here, and be at school or uni, and it's getting really challenging. And some of you are just frustrated with your walk with God. You don't see what you want to see. You're not hearing God like you're wanting to hear him. Keep going. Don't quit. Just be in church, front and center. Let God finish the work that he started in you. Or maybe you've been in a marriage, and it's getting really hard. And listen, if you've been married longer than 15 minutes, it is hard. And I know some of you are about to embark on that as well. Not looking at anyone in particular. Because, you know, when two become one and you get married, everyone thinks it's easy. But that's only really in the movies. In real life, it is hard. So don't quit. And then there's some of you here, you know, who you've never actually really surrendered your heart to God and your life to Jesus. You've never let him begin the work in you. And I want to pray for you. And then there might be some of you here that at one point you did actually say yes to Jesus. You did surrender your heart to him. But maybe you've been a little bit distracted. And if you're honest, you may be a bit frustrated or offended with what's actually happened in your life to date. So if you're honest to yourself, you might have one foot in, one foot out. And maybe you just got tired. And if you're really, really honest, you would say to yourself, you're not letting him do the full work in you. You're not following him. So I want to pray for you guys as well. So if I could get everyone to actually close their eyes for a moment. And let's just take a moment and be still before God and pray. Lord Father, you have a calling for us. You have started your good work in us. And our stories aren't yet finished. We know with you the best is yet to come. We are broken and we're tired. And we come before you as broken individuals with knowledge today that Jesus died for us on that cross. thank you today, Lord, knowing, realizing, and believing, God, that you really do want us to make the most of every day of our lives, choosing you to complete our story. We pray, Lord, that you will help renew our faith in this fact. Or if we haven't made the decision, just pray, Lord, that you will open up our hearts to accept your gift, that we may experience authentic happiness with you and fulfill and obtain that prize. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.